One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the entertainment catch-up for Catch Up with Louise Machary. I'm Louise Machary, obviously. I hope your week is going well. If not, don't worry about it. They can't all be good, as I say, on a regular basis. I'm having a pretty good week. It's been pretty hectic so far. It's interesting settling into this new schedule because the front of the week? Yes, that's right. There's a front and a back to the week. The front of the week is pretty intense, and then the back of the week is kind of less intense, which is nice. But I'm not used to it yet, so I'm kind of frantically, I feel like a dog running around chasing its tail most of the time. But that's okay. We're all learning and adjusting. I would like to say thank you so much to everyone who has signed up for the Patreon over the last few weeks. It's just so gratifying. Like, it honestly, it feels like a thank you. When I see that someone signed up, it means so much to me. I so appreciate it, and it makes my life easier. Like, my ultimate goal for this podcast would be that it could be the only thing that I do. That may be overly ambitious, but at the moment, I have so many different pots on to boil, and I would love to be able to just take a few of them off. And every time that one of you signs up, that makes it feel like it's more possible, or like maybe someday I could actually just focus on the podcast and improve the quality and book better guests and expand the time that I spend on it. So sincere thank you to everyone who has done that. It really means a lot to me. It feels like a vote of confidence, and I really appreciate it because I'm spending just so much time on it and I love it, but I'd love to spend even more. So if you want to join, you can. patreon.com/catchupwithlouisemachary. The link is in the show notes. Not much news since I spoke to you because I'm recording. It's Tuesday evening. I only spoke to you yesterday. So not much has changed since then. I fit well. I will say one thing that's changed. I finished one day. Good God. Now, can I just say, I had read the book. I'd seen the film. I knew it ended in tragedy. I don't think that's a spoiler because people all over the internet are talking about it and posting about it or whatever. Is that a spoiler? Maybe I'll have to take that out. Yeah, I'll do a little bleep. Anyway, I knew that it would make me cry. Or I knew that it was making people cry. But I cockily thought that it wouldn't make me cry because I know what's going to happen. And I've seen the movie and I've read the book. Well, I was absolutely wrong. I was devastated, cried throughout the entire last episode, and like couldn't shake it. Like, it's actually stayed with me. The good news is myself and Emer McLeisett are recording a Patreon episode about it as part of the monthly culture episode for the Patreon tomorrow. So that'll be going up live tomorrow as well. Actually, tomorrow, Wednesday. So you'll get, if you're with the Patreon, you'll actually get two episodes. Tomorrow you'll get the entertainment episode and you'll get myself and Emer chatting about one day. And the way it would just cut into you and injure your heart. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. Obviously, I'll go into it more in depth tomorrow on the Patreon. But it is good. I really enjoyed it. I particularly like the two lead performances. I think it's a bit slow in the middle, but it's well worth it. And it was such a nice such a nice thing to have for the last few days. So yeah, I've just been focused on that really, but I will get back to consuming other culture over the course of the next few days. In the meantime though, I hope you enjoy this. It is your catch up on the entertainment news. We talk about the SAG Awards. We are really in award season. What Barbra Streisand was getting up to at the SAG Awards, which I think is frankly iconic. We talk about the extreme fans of Taylor Swift, whose behavior is fully crossing over into unacceptable territory, in my view. You'll hear my thoughts on that. And also, we talk about the Eurovision and the continued conflict that's happening with regard to Israel's involvement there. There is a little bit of an update, so lots to talk about. I hope you enjoy. James O'Hagan, what a pleasure it is always to have you on the podcast, especially to have you now in your own standalone episode. How does it feel?
I mean, now I've got performance anxiety, Louise. I'm like, I have brought it to you every episode, but now here I am and I'm the star and I don't know if I'm going to be able to live up to expectations.
I absolutely have never believed in anyone more than I believe in you in the context of this.
Okay, good, good. More pressure, that's what I need.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Esther accidentally said Holly Willoughby last week and that was, you know, that's kind of a high standard she set there, so...
I did. I heard that. I heard Holly Willoughby Bee and I thought, wow, am I going to be able to have my viral moment?
I don't, like we'll
those
have
people
to wait
out
see.
on the red carpets. Will I get it?
Well, we have loads to talk about. So we are still in the thick of award season. So many awards, kind of struggling to care, I'll be honest at this point. But I still think it's worth acknowledging that the SAG Awards took place over the course of the last week.
Yeah, it certainly is. You're absolutely right, though. I think that at this point we are kind of getting to award season burnout. I can't remember what award show it was we were on when I was on with you the last time, but there's been a lot between now and then. And these are kind of, I think these are kind of the last ones before we get to the Oscars or more or less. So kind of we can give them a moment to shine. So yeah, they happened last Saturday in the Shrine Auditorium and Expo Hall in Los Angeles, and award recipients were more or less as expected. SAG Awards are interesting because obviously they are the performers themselves giving each other their awards. And it also is that mix of TV and movies, which always feels, I don't know, like it always feels like sort of a fun kind of mix up when you see your movie stars next to your TV stars. So no real surprises, I suppose. Well, actually there was one or two big surprises, but in terms of the movies, Oppenheimer obviously absolutely dominated. It showed us that our like brief dream last year that Barbie might be the sort of surprise hit at the award season really hasn't paid off. But we saw Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr. Come out with acting nods for that.
Downey Am Jr. I gonna have to watch this movie, James? Is that where we're headed?
I think that advice was given from another contributor to this podcast about just pretending.
Yeah.
Someone just pretended they liked The Holdover. I'm just going to pretend I've seen Oppenheimer.
Well, I feel so bad because Ross, who is the director of the IFI, I've done a few bits with the IFI recently, which has been amazing. And it's been very cool getting to know Ross. He is so lovely. And he heard me saying that I hadn't seen it. And so he invited me because they're screening it again in like 35 millimeter, the whole thing. And he invited me in. And I actually genuinely couldn't do the dates that it's on, but I felt, you know, I feel like I'm gonna have to suck it up and I feel like it's my job. I feel like I have to watch it.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's something sort of between Cillian Murphy and us that we claim him a little bit less than maybe we do other Irish actors. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's like, because if you think about the excitement around, say, Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott, or the excitement last year around, or I was going to say Karl Lagerfeld, but that's not who I mean at all. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. There was a real sense of like, do it for the boys. All get out and see your Banshees of Inisherin and everyone out to see All of Us Strangers. Whereas that hasn't quite translated as much to this one. I think maybe it is one that we will just have to begrudgingly accept. Yeah. Okay, sometimes boys make nice movies.
Well, I think with Cillian, it's partially that he's been doing this for so long. Like, he's been operating at a really high Hollywood level for years and years now that I think we're almost like, we kind of take him for granted.
I could see that, yeah. But it's also because he never crosses over into like Bono threshold. Like, he never crosses that sort of insufferable threshold. He always sort of remains very true to himself. And I mean,
he's pretty low key. Like, he still lives here. Yeah. Or I know he was in London for a while, but he's back here now. And he just he's not really interested in, you know, intentionally being a meme or any of that
stuff.
No,
he's not very often. he's not very ostentatious. Mm. So maybe that's what it is. It's like, you know what, Killian, actually step aside. We're going to revel in you even less than we are Iowa Debris, our adopted sister.
Our beloved Iowa Debris. I loved the photographs of herself. And I'm going to get all these names wrong. There's a photo of herself, Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal, and is it Daisy Poots? Or Imogen Poots? Am I making this up? The Irish actor from Saltburn, who plays Valencia or whatever. Hang on. Alison Oliver is her name.
Oh,
nothing
yes.
like any of the names no that poots. I said there. But, you know, it's the Irish crew at the awards. I love it.
Yeah, I actually at the awards it was nice to see a couple of reunions as well. We got an iconic Devil Wears Prada reunion mm-hmm. from Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, and Anne Hathaway, which I really just enjoyed watching. They played with the some of the iconic lines from the movie. Also, was pointed out to me that what color was Anne Hathaway's gown?
What cerulean?
It was cerulean.
Was it? I didn't even see this. Amazing.
And I mean, Emily Blunt looked fabulous in the beautiful red dress. They made a play on the sort of scene where the two of them were there with the diplomats. It was really fun to see that, like them actually bringing that to life there as well. And Meryl Streep seemed well up for it too. She's always gorgeous and glamorous and was indeed wearing Prada. So, you know.
My favorite story from the SAG Awards was to do with Barbara Streisand, who just continues mm-hmm. to be a living legend.
Absolutely. So Barbara Streisand was honored with a sort of a Lifetime Achievement Award, made a quip about how this was her favorite award because it was one you knew you were going to win ahead of time. It was given to her by Jennifer Aniston and Bradley Cooper. Jennifer said, Barbara did not just pave the way for us women, she bulldozed it. Mm. And indeed, she likes to know that she's in the right lighting whenever photos are being taken. So apparently, according to sources that Who Weekly have, there was an individual hired to stand beside her with a flashlight to shine it directly at anyone with a camera so as nobody would be able to get a picture of her on their smartphone.
Just iconic.
I love it. This is iconic Barbara behavior.
I also loved some fashion obsessive or fashion enthusiast figured out that what she was wearing, she was wearing kind of like a jackety, kind of almost like a blouse over a gold yeah. sequined outfit. And they did the detective work and went back and found that she had worn all of the items to various award shows previously. So they were like, we love this, that she just basically went to her wardrobe and pulled out what she felt like wearing on the night, like rather than working with a designer and having a big fancy look.
Very Gokwan capsule wardrobe. We love it.
Very sustainability. Hashtag and fast fashion.
Sustainability queen. Yes. Barbara Streisand did not see that coming, but look, here we are for it. Biggest surprise on the night, though, I think had to have been Pedro Pascal winning over and above Killian or Kieran Culkin for Succession and arriving up on stage absolutely tanked, more or less saying, I had no expectation of winning this award at all, but here I am.
This is wrong for a number of reasons. I'm a little drunk. I thought I could get drunk. And thank you, HBO.
And then himself and Kieran Culkin got sort of a little bit hot and heavy backstage with hugs and talking about sniffing of armpits. It was all very strange and also very internet sensation Pedro Pascal, kind of that personality he's given us of like the mean king.
Well, this is it. So he's like the anti Killian Murphy. Like he's giving it, he's serving it, he's giving it to us all the time. Whereas Killian's like, I just come and do the work, you know.
That's it. I just turn up. I turn up and get paid. That's all
it.
I want.
Okay. Well, the Oscars are coming, and I actually saw this morning that they've announced that the hosts. Am I making this up? The hosts are going to be Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer. Like I read that.
I did not see that.
I did read that.
Would be.
I should have Googled it before I got here. But I'm pretty sure that was announced.
I can't see it here, but I think that would be absolutely amazing if it was. Because I do think that, you know, they've gone down the road.
Present at the Oscars, not present okay. the Oscars. So they will be there together, but not like in charge.
Well, listen, I think that they should put them in charge, because I am kind of like, I think it was good. So Idris Elba was the host at the SAG Awards, and it's nice to see when I think they step away from bringing this sort of comedians in to host in some ways, because it's good. I suppose the comedians are always trying to bring attention to themselves, where you get a host who is like one of the actors themselves. So they're kind of maybe a bit more sporting and allowing other people shine. He did a great job, made a funny joke about not saying anything that you wouldn't say in front of Oprah. Mm. And judging by the fact that she's maybe not necessarily the internet's favorite person in the world, I'm not sure that that's a safe thing to invite people to do.
Yeah. I also thought that, did you see any of the clips of the Independent Spirit Awards were also on this week, which is like an indie awards show. And A.D. Bryant, formerly of SNL, still of SNL, formerly of SNL, I think, was the host. And all the clips I saw were brilliant, like really brilliant. I'll put one in here.
But since this is my first time hosting an award show, I did want to try some of the classics, you know, like roasting some of the celebrities in the crowd. Uh-oh, you getting scared? I know, who's first? Oh, let's see, from May, December, Natalie Portman is here. Hey, Natalie, you stupid bitch. I'm sorry. I know. I think I'm supposed to try and make it clever.
She just, you know, really had it. And again, like, was kind of on a par with everybody else, kind of had the room to like play and stuff. I just think, yeah, they need to really think about who they're bringing in to do these things.
Yeah, they do more carefully, because I think we saw it really, really flop hard a couple of weeks ago. And I can't even remember the name of that comedian who came in to host one of the awards, where it just was like a misogynistic nightmare.
Yeah.
And then you think back to, like, I suppose the iconic hosting of like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey a couple of years ago, I think it was the Golden Globes. And it's like, this is how you do it. I mean, basically, it's get a woman to do the job, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Okay, let's talk about Taylor Swift, because not a week can go by where we can skip Taylor Swift at this point. But she was back on the road in Australia. She did gigs around Australia, and it has reignited a conversation about concert etiquette because of some clips that have gone viral.
I mean, this is one of those examples of it. Like, over the course of the pandemic, I think everyone was like saying, we need to feel more, feel your feelings, share with people. This is where it's gone too far. People need to start feeling less. So there were two particular clips that came out of this. One, which was filmed from outside of the Melbourne cricket ground, where she was performing at one or two dates, where some fans who obviously hadn't been successful in getting tickets were sitting outside listening to the concert from afar, and she began singing the song Guilty, to which one of the girls who had obviously set up the camera to capture this moment just descended into fits of tears, wailing, crying.
No!
Her friends were just both looking on, incredibly bemused about the way in which this song had obviously touched something within her that they were not expecting.
I mean, one of the friends is visibly trying not to laugh, which I respect, 100%. Because her behavior I'm trying to think of a word that isn't like offensive to use, but her behavior is extreme.
Extremely bizarre.
And I actually did some digging on this, and she had already been to the gig, I think. I'm not sure on, you know, Taylor does a secret song in every set where it's like a surprise. You don't know what she's going to play. Okay. So I'm not sure if this was a song that she didn't play in the previous ones, but like, she had already been to the gig, and then she apparently went and sat for several nights outside stadiums to listen to the gig on other occasions. Like, it's too much. It's too much, guys. Like, I really need everyone to just calm down.
It really is too much. And like, you never want to yuck anyone's yum. But like, honestly, like, you do not have this many evenings in your night in your life to sit outside of a Taylor Swift concert listening if you've already been to see it. And it just is, I think that it is. And one of the accusations, I think, that has come out in this entire conversation about the development of like a gig etiquette with maybe some of our younger people is a self-centeredness, a feeling that your experience is the only experience that matters, and it doesn't matter how it impacts those around you. So the other video that went pretty viral was of Taylor Swift singing the song. What was the song she was singing? I can't remember. Anyway, she was singing one of her songs. She was singing a song, and someone was enjoying it from their place in the crowd, and an individual beside them started singing with sort of a guttural screech that can only be described as sounding like a constipated donkey. It's
not singing; it's screaming.
No. It is fully just absolutely screeching. Now, I do have to say, it put me in mind of my favorite internet video of all time, which is the goat version of Trouble. And I just... It really is that energy of sort of, you know, demented goat. And actually, I mean, goats are kind of satanic. So that does link us into what we're going to be talking about with Shane Lynch in a minute. But look, we won't get there just yet. But I do think that it kind of comes back around to this notion of individuals thinking that when they pay for an experience, that theirs is the only experiences that matter. And it doesn't matter how you impact the people around you.
Yeah.
So someone shared shared that video, and I suppose online there's been lots of conversation back and forth with some people saying like, oh, we're all paying to the concert. If we want to sing, we can sing. But most, I would say, normal people saying, you know, keep your enjoyment confined to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't have it knock on to other people.
No, exactly. I mean, and this thing of like, I'm entitled, I paid for my ticket, I love Taylor Swift, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to scream, I'm going to cry, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, hang on a second, honey. If you want that, pay for a private concert. Like, you are in a public space and everyone else has paid for their ticket too, and you don't get to infringe on everyone else's enjoyment. And the same goes for like people who record entire concerts and stand with their phone in your way. Like, you know, this is a communal experience that you are at, and if you can't, you know, afford to have a one-on-one, then you need to behave in a way which is polite in public. It's deranged.
100%. No, it is completely deranged, and you are absolutely right, and I think that's what people are completely losing sight of, that this is a communal experience. And I don't know, maybe someone could go off and do research about whether people have spent too much time existing within their own phone and their own universe and they don't perceive communal experiences in the same way anymore. But it is meant to be something where kind of you join up with the crowd around you, and I'm not going to be all like, back in my day, we didn't have phones. Like, of course, you want to take a photograph with your friends, and of course, like, you're going to maybe like bump into people if you're having a bit of a bop in the crowd or whatever. But it's about just like enjoying it in a way that doesn't like actively detract from the experience of those people. And that shouldn't be too difficult. You don't just need to like scream like the Banshees of Inisherin every time you hear a song you like.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing for me about the outside the stadium video is like the camera is set up to record, like it feels like it's being performed for the internet, you know, and that it definitely is playing a role in all of this. Anyway, if I actually manage to get tickets to Taylor Swift, which I still am hoping and praying for, if anybody hears of any, let me know. Me and Eamon McLeisett will do whatever it takes. If someone is screaming in my ear like that will be an issue. Like, I will have a problem with that. Like, it's not okay.
No,
I actually don't think Irish teenagers are doing that, though, because I remember reading about lots of people who were complaining about similar behavior at the Boy Genius gigs in America. Mm-hmm. And then I did not experience any of that at the Boy Genius gig in Ireland. So I do think that we are just, well, superior to everyone else, I think.
We are. We're just more polite and we do things better. I mean, that is just it. That
it's
is
just
the
us.
Focus.
I mean, we just can't help it. It's who we are.
We can't help if we're the best boys. Cannot help if we're the best boys.
No, it's in our genes. So you mentioned there is a story there this week. Wild.
On the subject of people speaking in tongues, worshipping false idols, goats, which are famously, as I said, satanic. Shane Lynch has not been bewitched by Taylor Swift amid Satan worship claims. So I don't. Shane Lynch is out on some kind of promotional bender for his brand new knockoff perfume store up in the Ballymena Tower Centre, where he sells Amen shoes and Amen heaven scent inspired by perfumes. And he was speaking to a Premier Christian Radio podcast. I don't know whether Premier Christian Radio podcast is the name of the podcast or whether it was a Premier Christian Radio podcast, name not included.
There are just so many question marks within that sentence that you just, like, so many things to ask about. But, you know, we don't have the time to get into the nitty-gritty of the details.
So he has shared that he believes that that the music industry is using its power to promote the devil, and Taylor Swift herself is worshiping Satan and promoting satanic rituals within her performances, live in front of 20,000, 30,000 people without them even realizing it. So you'll see hoods, you'll see masks, fire ceremonies, and they'll do a number of demonic rituals with pentagrams on the ground. So she basically is claiming that Taylor Swift has been invoking the devil within our concerts, but we just haven't been noticing it. And he thinks that the only solution to this is to get yourself to Amen heaven scent inspired by perfumes in the Ballymena Tower Centre to get yourself something to protect yourself.
Right. And now I will say that could explain some of the fan behaviour.
It certainly could. Like, I sort of was thinking, you know, I've seen people like in this, like it's sort of cult behavior, satanic cult behavior, people falling to the floor screaming, like being obsessed over their idols.
So Shane might have a point, you know.
Well, I'm not going to say that we shouldn't be listening to Shane, but I'm also not going to be saying that we should.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on.
Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay, now let's move on, and we have to talk about Eurovision. Now, my plan was to not really talk about Eurovision any further on this podcast because of the fact that Israel continued to be taking part in it. But I do think it's worth talking about what's happened this week, because, I mean, people are really making an issue out of the fact that they're taking part, rightfully so.
Yeah, so I think that, like, there's a couple of channels kind of coming along here at the same time. So I think that from, you know, as May has begun to approach faster as time passes, obviously the amount of conversation around Israel's place in Eurovision has become much louder online. I see now that there's one of those share sticker things going around in stories where people are saying, I'm going to be boycotting. It's becoming much more prominent. This conversation has been going on for the last number of months, where people initially were suggesting around the time of the beginning of the bombardment of Palestine that it should be no questions asked, that if Russia was gone, Israel should be gone. The EBU have been very slow to kind of say anything, and what they have said is more or less supported Israel's right to say in and drawn some kind of, like, very unclear distinction between Russia's invasion of Ukraine and Israel's bombardment and genocide in Palestine. So now what has happened is Israel has selected their performer, Eden Golan, with the song October Rain, which when you listen through the lyrics is very clearly sort of a song very much about the Hamas assault on the festival on October 7th. It's called October Rain, which is a very clear reference. There's a number of other references throughout the song to kind of the bravery of the Israeli soldiers and to the kind of the fact that they're, you know, to their perceived persecution at the hands of this particular aggressor. So the EBU are now reviewing the lyrics of this song to see whether they like transgress the like non-politicization rule, which apparently is in place, though you wouldn't necessarily know it by the fact that they're allowed to compete at all in any way. So back in 2009, We Don't Want to Putin, the Georgia song, was banned for supposed anti-Russian lyrics. There is form for knocking a competitor out if lyrics are found to be overtly political. And I do think that you would have to say if that sort of Putin is considered overtly political, then October Rain would have to be as well. And ideally, they would come to their senses and say, you are not allowed to perform while you are committing a genocide against a population in a neighboring territory. It's unusual. I sort of think that I cannot believe how out of step the EBU are, the Eurovision Broadcasting Union are, with the people who make Eurovision what it is, the people who watch Eurovision and the people who actually enjoy Eurovision.
Yeah.
Because I would say that the majority of people, like, it's going to, that, and I mean, you know, that poor girl, Eden Golan, if she does eventually get to perform on the stage in Sweden, it will be a horrific experience for her, where she will be absolutely eviscerated with boos and shouts and screams in opposition to what they're doing, because it'll be the first chance, it'll be a visible moment where people will be able to express their dissatisfaction to to an Israeli individual. So it is, I don't know, I just don't understand why they haven't been kicked out already, frankly.
Yeah, it kind of feels like they're bending over backwards to, like, you know, keep 100%. Them in. And I don't understand it, because, of course, you know, as you mentioned, one of the big issues is that they did kick Russia out when they were in conflict with Ukraine. I mean, they still are, like, you know, so there's a double standard and it's just crazy. Did you hear about Iceland?
Yeah, so I knew that Iceland have selected, as part of their national selection process, which I don't think has come to a head yet, they have selected a Palestinian artist who will perform a Palestinian song. And I would not be at all surprised if that's the individual that ends up being sent to Malmo by Iceland. And I think that will very much show the rest of the community where the allegiances of the people of Europe are vis-a-vis this particular situation.
He's the favorite at the moment to represent Iceland, and I think it's really interesting because it seems like there's been a big conversation in Iceland, because according to some poll, like about half of the citizens of Iceland are against Iceland participating in Eurovision at all this time. But I think it's kind of genius to be like, okay, fine, we'll come, but we're going to be represented by a Palestinian singer, and then thus giving all of Europe the opportunity to crown a Palestinian winner of Eurovision. I mean, it would be kind of amazing.
I mean, it really would be. And the only thing is, I'm also just like so sorry that this is happening in the first year in a really long time that Ireland have put forward a phenomenal entry, because Bambi Thug is fantastic and the Doomsday Blue is a really interesting and different song for us to send. It's doing really well. I don't necessarily think we have a chance of winning, but certainly if Israel are performing, I'm not going to be watching, and that means it's a pity for for somebody who could do so well.
I'm the same, and I think lots and lots and lots of people will be the same. I mean, most people who are on the side of the Palestinians, which is lots and lots and lots of Europeans, are making that decision. And I know there's been stuff about it on Instagram this week with lots of people sharing posts saying, you know, let's boycott Eurovision this year. I think it would be great if even those of us who choose not to watch for this reason did vote for Iceland, though, because if that happens, like if the Palestinian singer is selected, which it looks like he will be, I think that would be a pretty powerful message by the people of Europe.
I think it definitely would be.
I would like to see it if it goes ahead. I mean, ideally they would just remove Israel from the whole thing, like it shouldn't
completely No, completely. And it is something that, again, you kind of can't get. I mean, you're talking about this week in, week out in the news segment. Mm. We're lucky in the beautiful rainbows land of celebs that we don't have to go exactly. through this conflict all that often. But it is like it is harrowing what we're seeing happening Absolutely. In Palestine. And the fact that the sort of people who are perpetrating this are allowed to just compete in what's supposed to be like a big, exciting celebration of diversity, inclusion, of being together, of the joy of music is like horrific. And one of the things that like will be pointed to in the future as like, can you believe they did that?
Yeah.
Can you believe they let them come to the party even though this is what they were doing? I mean
also Israel is not in Europe.
Hey, no, because if you say that, then you have to kick out Australia too.
Australia. They don't even go here. What are they doing here in the first place?
Get out. Take the Azerbaijanis with you.
See, but they're at least beside us. Like, anyway,
that is true.
Look, that's another conversation for another day. Graham Norton had a big announcement this week. He is no longer going to be presenting his radio show.
Yeah, I mean, this is more kind of just like I suppose more of a footnote than a story, because like he out of nowhere seemingly just announced last week that he announced on social media that he was going to be leaving his weekend show on BBC that had been going on, like it's on Virgin Media, which is like an institution of radio in many ways. Like I have been listening to that show for I must be decades now. Him and Maria have been like a constant companion to me, listening to the weird stories that he got sent in from the different families. But I think he's just decided he wants his weekends back. And between his massive talk show hosting duties on Drag Race UK and his newly announced gig hosting the Wheel of Fortune, I think he probably is just like, look, I've got enough going on.
Yeah, and he's also churning out the books. Do you know what I mean? If I was him, I would 100% be packing that in. Like, you don't need to have a million different jobs, Graham. Not ever, but especially not when you're absolutely loaded and in this season of your life.
Hustle culture is not for billionaires and millionaires. Yeah. The Kardashians may make you think it is, but it's not. But it is, I suppose, like something that he is so good at. He has kept so many people, much like yourself, Louise, had kept so many people company on the cold weekend mornings, and it'll be such a sorry loss for those people who are out and about and are used to having him keeping them company as they're going about their business.
And Ryan Tuberty has lost an Irish compadre at the radio station.
Oh God, well, look, maybe that's it. Maybe, you know what it was actually? Graham Norton was like, he was quaking in his boots when Tubbs arrived. He was like, oh my God, they are gonna see what it is to be a real Irish host of a radio show. I'm getting out of Dodge before the P45 finds
gotta be
me.
It. Gotta be it. Gotta be. Okay, before we finish up, I wanted to talk about Wendy Williams. Now, I feel like not everybody knows. Lots of people will be familiar with Wendy Williams from like memes, but I think beyond that, a lot of Irish people won't necessarily be very familiar with who she is. So a little lowdown on Wendy Williams to begin with.
So you're absolutely right in that most people will be familiar with her through like memeable moments or kind of snappy one-liners. She's got a point. She's an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment. Now, come on now.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't about Peppa Pig. It was about Lil' Kim. But so television host, talk show icon, kind of has been very much like a major presence in kind of like celeb, like quite candid celeb journalism over the last sort of 20 years or so. Had her own show for, I think, near enough or just over a decade. And in 2020, that show came to a rather abrupt end, or her presenting of the show came to a rather abrupt end. And then for a further like year and a half or so, it was presented by like a rotation of celeb guests before it was eventually cancelled. And I suppose there has been rumblings and conversations going on in the background for a while that Wendy herself maybe wasn't entirely well. Mm. She has had a history of drug and alcohol abuse and had like a very sort of hard past around sort of like broken relationships with ex-husbands and that. So it was revealed last week that she's been diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, which is a really rare disease that affects the part of your brain that controls kind of behavior and language. And I think as well as that has an autoimmune disease. And so this has come to, I suppose some people are seeing this as an explanation as to why her behavior had become like a little bit more erratic. But the documentary that comes out really goes more into this guardianship that she has found herself in her alcoholism and her family's exclusion from her care. Mm-hmm. And it just paints a very sad picture of someone who was such a vivacious and switched on and bright individual, and kind of really, I suppose, speaks to the damaging consequences of alcoholism and also just the need to be able to allow public figures have some privacy sometimes.
Yeah, it is really sad. And because they, you know, they have suggested that the dementia is linked to her alcoholism, that it is alcohol induced, which is just so sad. Like, I mean, Wendy is a Marmite type character. Like, you love her or you 100%. Hate her. She has certainly been very offensive in her time, like even before the dementia. But she is an incredibly smart woman and a Black woman who carved out her own kind of kingdom within the media landscape in America, which is not an easy thing to do. And it is really sad that it's gone this way. And tricky even, like there's even, I feel like, a question mark around why is there a documentary? Like why are we talking about her? Like, are we feeding into it all by talking about it? But I think in a way people needed an explanation for why she has had to kind of disappear, as it were. And maybe this will lead to people, you know, being more respectful.
And I do think as well, because in like I haven't watched the it's a 4-part documentary, I think, on Lifetime. I haven't watched any, but I've seen a couple of clips come through on social media, and obviously they were the most kind of shocking of them. But I do think it draws some attention again to that kind of guardianship, conservatorship arrangement that can exist for people who maybe, you know, are very vulnerable, and around kind of like how the people who are entrusted with that care are allowed to behave and act. Because there has been, I suppose, accusations made by Wendy's family that the individuals who are responsible for the guardianship are kind of taking advantage of her, are spending her money, are not perhaps being fully kind of transparent about how they're doing it, that maybe her publicists and other people as part of her management team have been pushing her to continue doing media relations and media bits of work, and actually tried to encourage her to restart her TV show when she really clearly isn't in a place where that's what she needs to be doing. And so I think it's just it just is kind of a lesson in having the wrong people around you.
Well, you know, I wish nothing but peace for Wendy. It is such a tricky situation. She is a tricky person, and she's having a tricky time. But I just think, God, it just seems more and more like living in that kind of world of celebrity can be so profoundly toxic.
I also wondered, I suppose, like if part of this, if she kind of built a permission structure for this sort of voyeurism by the fact that her career was always so sort of like open with sort of, you know, she would stick her nose into other people's business, and 100%. She would be very upfront about kind of like being incredibly judgmental towards people who are going through incredibly hard times. So has she sort of, not, this isn't like a victim blamey thing, but like has that kind of created this structure in place where she now kind of finds herself almost like that turned back on her?
People will be like, she's been dishing it out for years and now it's her time to take it. But like,
yeah, exactly,
you know, it I don't think it was good when she was dishing it out either.
No.
Okay, well, James, my friend, you have done a wonderful job of summarizing everything that's gone on this week in the world of celebs. Where can the people find
you
James?
Much. Listen, the people can find me knocking about Dublin, but more importantly, they can find me on Instagram at James_O_Hagan. Or if you really are wowed by my candor, you can come over and listen to myself and Padraig Wilson McCarthy and our show Queeriosity on Dublin City FM, or anywhere you get your podcast, as the saying goes.
Yeah, I highly,
always a joy to have.
Highly recommend it.
Always a joy to hear as well from people who have enjoyed hearing me here. I have run into so many people. I have to say this, Louise. I have run into so many people through my work who have like recognized my voice from being here. Aww. And they are always the soundest people.
Yeah.
Like without a shadow of a doubt, they're always the loveliest people.
Yes. I'm telling you, my people are the best people. Like
they are.
I say it all the time. They are the best people. We've got such a gorgeous community here, and I love each and every person who listens. And that includes you, my friend. So thank you so much for your contribution this week. James will be back, of course, in due course. And I hope you have a great one. Bye, James.
It took a while.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.